You have your Bibles, turn in them to Genesis, the book of Genesis. That's the first book of Scripture, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. And beginning Genesis 22, verse 1, these are the words of God, and they are infallible and authoritative for our lives. So let's give our attention to them. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Or Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Reumah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maakah. And those are God's words. And here in chapter 22 is the account of the Lord commanding Abraham to go to Moriah, which would be Jerusalem, where the temple would be built in the future. To go there to offer Isaac, his only son. We see that often repeated in this passage about three times. To offer his only son, Isaac, there as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And now Isaac is the son of promise. The promises here hang in the balance. They're hanging on the survival of Isaac, right? If we think about the promises that God has made to Abraham and we look forward, the birth of Christ hangs upon this as well. The promises of Abraham being a father of many nations hangs upon this. And yet Abraham obeyed quickly. You get to verse 6, and Abraham is laying wood on Isaac to carry on the way to sacrifice him. How ridiculous this seems. But Abraham is faithful to obey the Lord, no matter how ridiculous sounding. And no matter how against the promises of God it seems to be, God directly commands them, and so he's obeying. Yet even while Abraham was commanding these things of his son, verse 8, he's holding on to the promises that God would provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. He knows that God will provide because of the promises, and yet he's obeying still. Verse 10, he's going to slay his son, again his only son, which points forward, of course, to the Father, God the Father, giving his only begotten son. Abraham's going to slay his son, only son, the son of promise, according to God's commandment. But it's stopped by the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, who appears as this angel of the Lord. And the Lord provided the ram, verse 13, for the sacrifice. Through verse 19, then the covenant the Lord made with Abraham previously, he renews it. He says it again, don't forget the promises. And Abraham, at this point, wasn't forgetting the promises, but yet God reminds him again. Just as we hear the gospel, we might not be forgetting the gospel. We hear it again and again. And then the ending showing a little more of Abraham's family and the relation of Rebekah, who would marry Isaac, Abraham's only son. So, beloved, here again we see how intimately the covenant with Abraham is tied to the new covenant, and that is tied to the covenant of grace. Here is the gospel again. It's presented clearly to us. Whereas we deserve ourselves to be sacrificed and die eternally, so the Lord provided a better and perfect sacrifice in Christ for us. His only begotten Son for us He gave, that we would not die but live in Christ. Christ is therefore calling you all this morning to trust and rest in His sacrifice for your death in union with Him, for your life in union with Him, lest you perish forever. That's what you're called to believe. That's what you're called to rest in. And you are called to do so today. For today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful for the gospel here so clearly shown. And yet, there's so many more intricate details of how this points to the gospel, and yet we have not even scratched the surface just in this chapter. And Father, we are thankful for your word, which is perfect, which is eternal, which calls us to come unto you through your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect and spotless Lamb of God. He who takes away the sin of the world. And we know that there is no salvation apart from Him. And that there is only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we turn unto you through Him. And we confess our sins as well, because we often, if we were put in the same place, we'd probably shrink back in faith and and fall and be consumed with anxiety and worry and fear of you, because how could we obey you when all your promises hang in the balance? And how could we put to death our own son, our own child? We don't, probably everyone here would say that we wouldn't be able to do that. And yet you did for us in Christ your Son. And so we are thankful. We pray that you would give us willing and faithful hearts to love you and obey you in everything, even when it seems like your word is hanging upon what we do. We know it is not. You bring about your will exactly according to your eternal plan and decrees. And Father, you are the gracious God who upholds us, and that you will never command us to sin. We acknowledge that from this passage as well. And so, Father, help us to be men and women and children of your word, knowing what you say, what you command. And we would study it and meditate upon it day and night. That we would always seek to be faithful by the grace of the Holy Spirit who works within us, never going against the Spirit, never quenching the Spirit. But uphold us, Father, by your grace. And by your mercy, receive us. Not because, of course, we deserve it, but because of Christ your Son. Father, we also plead that you would forgive us, even as we hear this morning, of those Ten Commandments, and those commandments which have to do especially with loving our neighbor. The fifth through the tenth commandments, we ask that you would help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That you would forgive us where we have sinned against you, where we've dishonored our inferiors and superiors and our peers, where we have murdered in our hearts, where we have committed adultery and lusted after other people or after other things of this world which cannot satisfy, where we have stolen from you, we've stolen from others. Even in our work, we have wasted time or been lazy in our work, and so stolen from our workplaces. We've even stolen from you, stolen the time that you've given us by not spending it wisely. And even in spending it in worldly things when we could spend it in holy things. Father, we pray that you would forgive us of bearing false witness, for lying, for gossiping, and committing slander. And even changing the truth just a little bit. Remembering that you are the God of all truth. And that all lies, any type or form of it, is contrary to your nature. And therefore sin. Forgive us of those sins. And forgive us of coveting. And pride, and seeking those things which are not ours and which ought not to be ours, which we lust after and desire after just so that we could have more things, or to try to fill some void or make ourselves feel better by having them. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. And we come confessing them, in which you say you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness for your sake, for Christ's sake, you forgive us for your glory. And so, Father, we hang our comfort in Christ and your promises. Father, we ask that you would be with those who are sick today, many of our congregation who are sick today, who are not feeling well. I know even Lynn has Jeannie's son has a stress test tomorrow. I pray that you would heal his heart. And all else who are sick, not feeling well, not able to be here with us, uphold them and bless them while they are apart from the body. And grant them your Holy Spirit and the grace that comes from you alone. We pray also for your church. We pray that you would provide for your church. And you would bless all that we give, from the first fruits and more, if we so desire to give, that you would bless them and use all the things that we give for the spread of the gospel on earth to all nations, that your promises would be fulfilled at the right time. And you have the preaching of your word and the testifying of the gospel to go forth even from us. Again, for your glory. And in all these things, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.